B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Fog Hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 610-620-9975 is how you get in. And we'll talk about some of the issues we've been talking about as far as the Eagles go and a disastrous open. And what does it mean for, like, you know, sometimes you overreact. And it's possible that we are overreacting here. It's also possible that you saw some things that really scared you. And that's where I am right now. I'm in a discomfortable position, an uncomfortable position. I'm sitting in a pool of discomfort. Anyway, the 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Sal Powell coming up in exactly 12 minutes to talk about Sunday's game. All right, so I just got a text from our all-around maestro, Coach Camille.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Assistant programming director. Yeah, did you get the same?
Uh-huh.
You got a text. Now, apparently there's a lot of traffic that has the Vine Street Expressway at a standstill.
Yeah, because of the president's in town.
He just landed.
Yeah, so Coach Camille is in this standstill. So Coach Camille just witnessed a man who is also in the standstill who, I don't even know how to describe this, but apparently he
drank a lot of liquid.
He tinkled in a cup in his car and threw it out the window. Now, at first that would seem it would be barbaric, and it is. But I know there have been other people that have been in this kind of situation where you're trapped and you really have to go. And so I'm curious to know, like, how the average person should handle that.
This is where the guy's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't have thrown it, right? Should have just dumped
out
it.
Out the window?
Just, like, casually dumped it.
He went the
key.
Wrong window. If you're going to do that, this particular person, you know, uh-huh. Everybody that's been on that road, he's on the in the right lane.
Well, there's people on either side of him, apparently.
Let me look at the
picture.
There's not a person on either side. I got the picture.
Okay.
There's nobody to his right.
Okay.
And yet, when he dumps it to the left. That's the violation. You do it to the right where there's nobody on his shoulder.
I think dumping it in general is a violation.
Yes.
Well, you can keep it in the car.
And I've done that.
You keep it till you get there, till you get to your journey.
I always keep an empty bottle in my car.
I always have an empty bottle for case of an emergency.
Right. And in that case,
just put the lid back on.
Right. Now, I don't think I've ever done it where people could see me. Like, a peeper, like, I would never do it with a peeper around.
Right. But he's,
like, I would, like, pull off to the side of the road away from potential peepers, and you then use the bottle if I can't go outside.
Yeah,
like in an obscure spot.
Well, I mean,
and there's no place he can go. Looking at the picture,
gentlemen have an advantage. When
gentlemen definitely have an advantage.
I always thought that was the old bottle,
on it and I transport it.
Yeah, I always thought it was the old bottle trick, like you guys are talking about for guys. That's what you guys do.
It's not as easy as you think, though.
No, I mean, I'm sure it's not.
Depending on the bottle size.
What do you
like?
A standard Gatorade?
Gatorade bottle works.
A
water bottle is really difficult.
Very small.
Oof.
Gotta be just so with your aim.
Yes.
And obviously, women wouldn't know this. When you really, really, really have to go, and you're only doing that if it's an emergency.
Right, because you're trying to hold it.
You have to be precise when it's an emergency. It's harder to be
it really is.
Level of precision.
It really is. See,
and you would only do it if it's an emergency. You wouldn't just do that for fun.
It's a fine skill.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do when you really have to go.
It's not. It's an advantage to have leather seats, too. You
know, the cleanup, yeah.
You know, the cloth seat is no bueno.
Yikes, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so apparently the guy next to him yelled at him, according to Coach Camille's text.
And yelled at the other guy?
The guy was peeped.
Oh.
And the peeper yelled at him for throwing it out the window.
Oh, it got another layer. It was just like a big gulp cup. It wasn't like a bottle.
Ew. That's what I'm saying. If he just like chucked it out the window.
To the left, too, where other cars are.
Listen.
He has to, if you're going to throw it, you have to do it away from
everything. No, don't throw it. You open the door and just casually dump it.
Yeah, but he did
discreetly.
That with a full cup. Come on, guy.
It is a dilemma that you only have the cup. Because at that point, you can't transport it.
Well, yes, you can. Unless you fill up the cup, you put it in the cup holder, you got to suck it up.
Unless you have the lid. And the lid still has the straw opening. Like, it's got to be a sealed situation.
Well, he's got the cup. The coach just updated. He's listening. The guy had the cup. What do you do?
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, it's tough to transport it. I'm all about the transport.
Yeah, I get you. Right.
But
case,
if you have
though,
an open big gulp cup, it's tough to transport right, because then it becomes an untenable situation.
So at that point, in bumper-to-bumper traffic, I think you have to work your way over to your passenger seat to the shoulder of the road. Where there is no
way. I think you need to move off the road. Now, maybe it's impossible for the guy to move off the road.
But it's a parking lot. You physically, like, put the hazards on. You do it real fast. Like, move your body, climb over, and discreetly lean down low from the passenger side. And you have to do what you have to do. It's a tough world out there. It's tough in these streets sometimes.
Discretion is always key.
But you can't just say, hey, everybody. It's just like this guy did. He's at him all.
That is
this is polite society.
76 is already tough enough as it is.
And I got this guy. I'm in the left lane. And
now
I got to put. It's a nice day. You might have the windows down. It's
beautiful.
It's not AC season, and that might happen to me. He's lucky. He's lucky. He's able to drive.
I know that guy. Yeah.
Come on now, with your big gulp cup. Should be drinking all that soda anyway.
Right?
All right, 610-632-0975. John in Newcastle. What's up, John?
That's right, Ty. Tell him. Stop drinking all that soda.
Wait, what do you need 32 ounces for? Seriously, I never got that either. You need 32 ounces of soda? Seriously.
I had to do that one time in Boston. We went to Boston to see the Sixers and Flyers on a sports trip where on the highway, but I just went in the bottle and then we discarded it later on.
Yeah, you got to transport it and discard it like a human being.
But real quick on the Phillies, where I get to my Eagles point, I would redo that trade. I mean, could you imagine Nola, Sanchez, and Wheeler next year? That would be nice. I mean, that would.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the ace type of pitcher. I have to admit.
I mean, the one thing about having a staff like that is. Look at the Braves all those years. You don't even have to have a good offense when you have guys that go out there and shut you down like that.
Oh, yeah, and it's hard for me to analyze it because JT Realmuto might be the best catcher in the league. I get it, but he's not Johnny Bench. You know, he's a good player. And like to me, I put in the value machine and I go, number one ace that throws 100 might be a little more valuable than a good catcher who's maybe the best catcher in the league.
Not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, I was watching the Phillies, and I think it was the Flyers elimination game in the basketball, and I'm flipping around the channels, and I was thinking about you, Mike, because I came across Tommy Shepard in his work clothes.
No way!
4 points and 10 rebounds.
Firing medium range jumpers all over the place.
Yeah, and it is like Timberlands.
Right, exactly. And his brother, frustrated as hell, he can't stop him.
I love that
it's
movie.
It's a great movie. What was his buddy's name? Like, yeah, Nutso. Nutso. He couldn't forget. He's guilt-ridden for Nutso. Couldn't get his life together until he stepped on that court.
That's great. Right. But my Eagles point, this is a bigger loss to me than just – I watched a lot of football this weekend. And around the NFL, there is a talent deficiency with this team. I'm looking at these other teams. The drafting's catching up to them. And, I'm worried. I'm worried beyond just the bad loss to Washington. I think it's bigger than that. And, then I'm thinking, too, like, I know the league is going a certain way with guys like Wilson, Watson, Jackson, and the kid in Arizona. But now I'm worried about what – I mean, Hurts better be the guy then. Right? He better be good. Is he good?
Yeah. No, that's actually a next level question. I don't know because I don't actually think so. But they think again, they're chasing their tails here with this. They may have overvalued him because he has the look of somebody who could do it differently than Wentz.
Yeah, he can run the ball a little bit, but I don't know if he has a strong arm.
Yeah, like he's mobile and can get out of the pocket and do some things. I see what they can see in him. But you're right. I mean, I don't know if he was spectacular in college. I mean, if he was, he would have been number one pick, like first round pick. But I just know what they're thinking. They just get enamored with the new thing, and they got to have it. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like the Cabbage Patch doll came out again.
The craze.
The Elmo. The talking Elmo.
Tickle me, Elmo. Furby.
Came out again. You got to have it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Furby. Troll dolls.
Yes.
Anyway, he touched on the last call. The issue is this bigger than one loss? Because you can sit here and get trapped by it. You got that one loss. All right. They come back. They beat the Rams. And everything. But is it bigger than one loss? When you see what you saw, because your quarterback's a major part of that equation. And if you saw some things in that game that go, geez, he hasn't progressed, then maybe it's a real, real thing.
No preseason at all, though. What I'm trying to leave the door open for is maybe the timing, the clock, everything was off. So both of those interceptions were timing-type throws as well. I'm hoping that it was they did nothing. They shut him down for a week for the groin thing, so he got even less reps than he would have even gotten before. I'm hoping that all that shakes out because I think he's going to have to save them because I don't think they're good enough.
Let me ask you this question. Did Joe Burrow have a better game in his first game than Carson Wentz did in the first game of his fifth year?
He had a better game than Tom Brady had in the first year of his 25th year. So
he didn't have preseason either.
Yeah, but, you know, but Tom Brady didn't have a preseason. He threw two picks, including a pick six. Like, I can't go with one game and now I decide Burrow's better than Wentz. Like, I won't do that.
Well, but on the position that, he didn't have preseason, didn't have anything to work the kinks out. I mean, neither did Burrow, and he came out, played okay.
Yeah, but Brady threw two picks as well, and they lost the game. Like and he started the game the same way. They scored an 85-yard touchdown drive the first drive. Like, I can't decide, because this guy had one game. Oh, this guy, I can't do
Brady's
that.
Brady's had a lot more good one games than Wentz has, though.
Doesn't matter. He didn't have preseason. He stunk. Like, you can stink one game, and that doesn't mean you stink for your life. Like, I can't go there based on one game. And I can't say Burrow's going to the Hall of Fame because he had one good game.
Brady was Bird, and he had to carry Giselle around and listen to her. He's distracted.
Yeah,
you got to attend New City and, like, go into a park and violate laws.
I know. Walking into strangers' houses.
Yeah.
Brady had a lot more workouts than Wentz because he did a lot of illegal workouts.
Yeah, he did.
And still threw two picks.
He's also 74. All right.
Being exposed?
Yeah, well. Let's get our next guest in here because we'll get some insights here from the great Sal Powell, who covers the NFL for ESPN like nobody else. He's brought to us by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Sal Powell, I don't know what to ask you. Tell me what you saw in that game Sunday and what are your conclusions right now.
What I saw, Michael, was, in my view, the worst loss of the Doug Peterson era.
Ooh.
Like, I thought last year the loss of Miami was bad. This was the worst loss of Doug Peterson's career as an Eagles head coach. I mean, because it was the opener. They were playing a Washington team that had so many problems, so many challenges all summer long, including the coach fighting cancer while he's coaching the team. A second-year quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, who didn't really prove anything to anybody his first year. And, I know why it's such a letdown to people. And what I hear from people is that this was really bad is because everybody was waiting so long for the season to start. You had this drought where there was no football. And people tuned in and they got up 17 to nothing and then whack, they were sucker punched. I'm talking about the fans being sucker punched. So the devastation among the fan base is palpable. People are really disappointed, very disappointed. I mean, they should be happy that the team got to play I get it. Pandemic, I get it. Everybody was out there, played pretty hard, I get it, under the circumstances. But that was, in my view, the worst collapse I've seen in the Peterson
era. Why do you think that it was his worst coaching moment? What didn't he do, or what did he do?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that question. So I've been preparing for you, basically, for the last 48 hours, and going through tape and going through the final book. I think the game was lost in the second quarter. The team is up 17-0. It's 1st and 10. You're on your 28. Michael, there's a minute 44 left in the second quarter. A minute 44 before you go all giggly and happy into the halftime locker room, up by 17 points, shut out the other team. And he has Carson Wentz drop back to pass. And I'll tell you right then and there, when Carson Wentz throws the interception, the game is lost in my view. He throws the interception. Washington gets the ball 1st and 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays later, Washington scores at 17-7. What happened next, which you did not see on the broadcast, but what I could see and hear from my perch in the press box, was that as the Washington football team went into their locker room, rookie defensive end Chase Young of Ohio State was screaming and yelling and taunting the Eagles as they went into the locker room, saying, "You got to finish the game. Don't forget to finish the game."
Wow. That's unbelievable. So he was taught. They're still down 10, and he was taught them?
Because he knew the momentum had shifted dramatically. You could just see it. The Washington football team was emboldened. And here's a rookie. Now, I realize he's a second overall pick. He played in a huge program at Ohio State. He comes with the funk and the noise. But he brought it to that Eagles team that was walking off the field very unhappy with themselves.
All right,
that, to me, was the moment.
That's really interesting. Now, let's look at his
hate. And, you know, one more thing. So yeah. The stands are empty. There's no music playing. The whole world can hear Chase Young saying this. The stands are empty. You can hear it throughout the stadium. That's how loud he was. It wasn't like it was not evident. It was evident.
That's interesting.
The whole Eagles bench could hear it. And that, to me, was the major, major shift in momentum. I think that's where the game was lost. Remember, Wentz had been sacked, Michael, 4 times in the first half.
Yeah.
First time he's ever been touched up like that, sacked like that, in the first half in his career. Now, even the man's been hit a lot in his career, much more so than we want, but never sacked like that. And so Chase Young brought it to them at the end of the second quarter.
All right, two areas I want to ask you about. The first one is what we just talked about, that his decision to do that, Doug Peterson's decision, and he explained it, so you know me, I'm going to be aggressive, and my feeling was I wanted to score there, and then we get the ball in the second half and score again and put it away. Does he trap himself with this brand of Mr. Aggressive?
Michael, sometimes you can't coach to some predetermined approach or philosophy. The way to win the game sometimes, and always the way to win the game, is to coach to the specific circumstance of the game. There's a guy, a curmudgeon up in Foxborough. He will tell you all the time that that's the case. That's straight out of Parcells and Lombardi. They all learned that through Belichick's association with the Naval Academy because his father, Steve, coached there. They all learned that because Parcells learned that at West Point where he coached as a college coach. That comes straight out of we will win the circumstances of the game, whatever is presented. You don't coach to your philosophy. You coach to your opponent. What are they doing to you and how do you take it away? Unless, of course, you've got Joe Montana or Tom Brady, but you don't. You don't have that.
All right, so then let's take it to the second half now, where it's clear that his offensive line is getting destroyed by that front.
Destroyed is the correct verbiage, yes.
So what? So correct. As the coach, you have control over some adjustments to defeat what they're doing. Why didn't he?
And then he comes out. They go three and out. Washington goes three and out. Then they come out and they put him in the shotgun. And he gets intercepted again. Again, trying to throw to a rookie wide receiver. This time, Washington's got the ball on the 20 and they cash in four plays. So, you know, Mike, who's closer in the media to Doug Peterson than this?
You are. You're nobody closer than you. So, okay. So he.
Have I come on this program ever really?
No. No.
I'm not criticizing Doug. Yeah. I'm not criticizing him. I'm critiquing him, correct? Am I doing that?
Yes. So we can both see what happened. They didn't do anything. They didn't move him out of the pocket. They didn't screen. They didn't do short passes, quick three-step drop. They didn't do any of that thing. So a large part of the loss belongs on the coach. But now let's flip it to the quarterbacks, Al, because there's a lot of people now worried that this guy has not progressed like he should have, that he's making the same mistakes. What did you see?
Michael, I was watching the game in the binoculars from the press box. I had a bird's-eye view. He's getting hammered. I mean, listen, he made bad decisions. He has owned up to that. But they were really severely undermanned. Chase Young's looking at Jason Peters and like, you know how you and I go on the court now and everybody talks, tells us we're grandpa, hey, grandpa, yeah, you can't go to your left, grandpa. You know, it was like that. It was like that. It was like they just...
So it's...
Jack Del Rio played games with the offensive line. They had delayed blitzes. They had stunts. But then it was just the sheer power, youth, and speed that overwhelmed an inexperienced and older offensive line. They were outgunned. And Wentz was under the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think he can be absolved. Obviously, he cannot. Because he made some poor decisions and poor throws, and he has acknowledged that. But in the pecking order of blame, I'm not going to put him at the top. Me, personally, I'm just not.
All right. Now, this begs the question. This they were a solid favorite to win this game, home opener against the Rams. The line has flipped. The Rams are now favored in this game. Now, I don't know.
So that's 2 weeks in a row of negative line movement.
Yes. But this is ridiculous. I mean, this line makes them the underdog at home. And I'm curious to know, like, is this a one-game thing and we're going to breathe easier after this game? Or is this team troubled?
Well, they have a lot to fix, Michael. And I don't know how much of it is fixable. Obviously, Lane Johnson playing this week against the Rams will be a big improvement. But Jason Peters really struggled at left tackle. There's no question about that. And let's go back to your comment before, which I thought has been ignored by a lot of people. They got to get Carson Wentz on the move. They got to get him out of the pocket. He's not good when he's static. He's just not. And obviously, they have to... Oh, my God, I can't even believe I'm saying these words because you and I have said them till we're blue in the face. They have to commit to running the football. You don't just run it and be running one and done. And how many times have we said that? So they'll have to do that. They'll have to give Jason Peters some help. There's no question that he needed it. And they're going to have to redesign what they did offensively with the quarterback. Because now you've got Aaron Donald and company coming in. And they're looking. I was watching. It's so funny because, when you're watching TV, you can't really see everything because the camera's focused, right? The lens is focused on the game and the football. The camera follows the football. I don't follow the football when I watch the game. I search and look for clues as to what's going on behind the scenes or on the bench or interactions between coaches and players. The defensive line, now it's a warm day, and this is their first game back. They didn't play any preseason games. The defensive line of the Washington football team is not on the bench when they're not on the field. They are standing on the sideline, itching to go back in the game. They can't wait to get out there.
Well, we'll have to hold on to see what happens Sunday.
Hold on, Michael. Fasten your seatbelt. It's gonna be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, 0-2 is not good.
One game at a time. We got a whole season,
Yeah,
boy,
I got you.
There were a lot of things that happened that need to be addressed. You know, the one thing about the Rams is they're coming across the country. It's a long trip, tough. Russell Wilson just did it. Went to Atlanta. I get it. It can be done. The Seahawks proved last week, hey, week one, what's the big whoop? We can come across the country. We did that twice last year in Philly. Bang, bang. But the Rams are not the Seahawks. It's a different team. Goff is not Russell Wilson. We'll have to see how they hold up coming across the country. But the line moving is not an encouraging sign. What is it now?
It's 1.5. The Rams favored 1.5.
That's unbelievable. I didn't even know that before I came on the air. That's a shocker.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mikey.
Sal Powell, brought to us by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll stick a couple calls in here. We got Sound Off coming your way. Mike Missinelli Show continues on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Let's get the final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. We need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment. Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Natalie, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,000 votes on this one today. Have you lost faith in the following? 15% say Wentz, 14% say Peterson, 23% say both, 48% say neither. And then we had poll number two. Should we have included Howie in the original poll? 79% say yes, 21% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. But by the way, Tyrone, I just caught on to the Jimmy Butler coffee thing that he made reference to.
Yeah.
He's got a coffee hustle going on.
Yeah, I know.
At the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's got a French press in his room, and he's making coffee for players or whoever wants them, and he's got like a board out there. It's called Big Face Coffee, and he's charging $20 a cup of coffee, no matter what size, small, medium, or large.
$20.
This is a hustle like Randy in The Wire with the candy hustle that he had going. So wait a minute. So where's he getting the beans? Where's he getting the coffee?
He brought those beans. He's a big coffee. So
he brought the beans. How many beans does he have?
Got a lot of beans.
He's a beansman.
He's a beansman.
But how many? Like what? He had bags of beans.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think he had Bam and somebody else bring extra beans with him.
So he's got a grinder?
Yeah.
And he's making a French press?
Got the whole
look,
thing.
I'm not mad at him.
At the Sixers, they had a coffee club. It was like TLC Dario was in it, and then TJ McConnell. They were on. Obviously, some of those guys were gone by the time he got here. But the coffee club was still intact with Cork Maz, TJ.
Yeah.
And then he's a big coffee guy.
Yeah.
But they go to like Starbucks.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't do coffee with them.
Uh-huh.
He made them drink his Fresh Print.
Okay, Fresh Print.
Yeah.
Fresh Print. French Press.
Yes.
Which is really good. Makes a good cup of coffee.
That's French Press. And he had the coffee club TJ and all them drinking after a while. They stopped doing Starbucks. And they were doing Jimmy's coffee when he was here.
He's doing lattes, pour overs, cappuccinos, Americanos, espresso, red eyes, my personal favorite, mochas, macchiato, and cafe au lait.
$20. Now you got a beef with that somehow? Like what? You think you should be giving it out for free?
No, I just don't like Jimmy, so I'm like, boycott the coffee. I think it's awesome.
My man's got a hustle going. Now, $20 is a bit much.
That's a lot. Like,
it's ridiculous that you're charging $20.
Paying $20 for that coffee.
Yeah, but
it's $20 for small, medium, and large.
So you got to get the large.
A, he knows you can't get good coffee on that planet. B, he knows these guys got money. Pay $20 for a cup of coffee. Why not?
And he's lucky that he comes around at the perfect time. He comes around after Cash, but he comes with Cash App.
and Venmoing all them for people to pay him. There was a sweet spot where he wouldn't have got paid. Like, even 3 years ago, he wouldn't have got the $20. Now, they'll just cash out from the $20. There's no big deal with Venmo.
I love the dude. Is he selfish? Of course he is. Shouting $20 to his like, people in the league. Like, they share the same dream.
Some of his teammates.
Oh, that's hysterical. I just want, like, nobody's asking him where he's getting the beans. Is he getting them shipped in?
He
can't possibly have brought that many bags of beans bubble.
They talked about it in the beginning. I just thought it was like an aside. Because when they first went in the bubble, remember before they were playing, there was all these stories. They were fishing and they were doing all that.
Yeah.
Part of his story was the coffee. I thought it was just like a casual thing. Apparently, it is not. Now he's got merch.
Wait.
He's selling merch.
He might get the beans shipped in.
Carting it into the bubble with sacks on his shoulder like he's bunch from of South America?
He had beans in the beginning. Maybe he is getting them shipped in and then they sit.
He's got to be getting them shipped in. But,
the beans.
Well, what about the merch? Where's he getting it? He's selling coffee merch. Where'd he get the merch? And how does he have time as the hardest working human?
I don't know. It's just a mystery. I got to find
coffee
merch.
See,
the bean thing where he's getting the beans is because you can't just, like, get stuff in the bubble, right?
I think you can get beans in.
Why can't you have beans delivered?
I don't know where those beans are coming from.
There's no COVID. They probably check them. They definitely are.
Yeah.
People running the story. I've been asked, where are you getting beans? Track the beans for me. That's interesting to me.
Talk to
the beans is the thing to me. I want to know where he's getting the merch made. He's getting merch made and shipped into the bubble. He's selling merch.
I got to hand it to him because it's boring in there. So he found out a way to be like a little entrepreneur selling coffee for $20. I like it.
I want a cup.
It definitely helps bring the team together.
Of course it does.
I have to give him because even if you don't drink coffee, you could be in on the merch. And it's just funny.
Maybe that's why he's up at 3 a.m. dribbling the ball.
He's just hopped up on that caffeine. You know he probably drinks coffee before he goes to bed. He sleeps for like 2 hours and then he's wired.
He's all hopped up on caffeine.
Yo, Jim, gotta get a cup of coffee. $20. Yeah, you get one.
I don't got cash. Sorry.
Gotta get yourself to an ATM then. All right, let's take a break. We're coming back. We got Sound Off coming your way right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Seven-5, The Fanatic. You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Sound off.
All righty, it's time for Sound Off. Tuesday Sound Off, 2 days after the game, so we'll see how yesterday was lit up. Sound Off, 610-771-9705. Let's see what we have today.
I know professional sports shouldn't do this, and it's cutting off your nose to spite your face, but is it possible that Deshaun Jackson was played so little this past weekend as a punishment for his statements he made in the offseason?
No. I don't really have anything more to add. I do believe that when they say they don't want to burn him out. But it was the wrong thing to do, probably.
I want to introduce a new word into the baseball lexicon, if you will. It's a Velasquez. What I've noticed about our buddy Vinny is that whenever the Phillies score, it doesn't have to be the bottom of that inning. It's always the next inning. He gives up whatever they've scored. Or even more.
I have decided to not comment anymore on Vince Velasquez. I think that I've commented 3 years worth of enough about Vince Flacco. I got nothing more to say. It's all, whatever you want to say, I got you.
Here it is, Mikey Miss. One game, and I have seen enough. And the combination of double-digit sacks and turnovers is due to Carson trying to make miracle plays every down. Sometimes you just got to get rid of the ball.
I can't disagree with you. And we'll see. Even Dan Orlovsky, who's been, he's Mr. Carson's supporter. And he's down on him right now. He's watching closely the next game to see if he can get back on the Wentz train.
Looks like Carson Wentz is going to be having some Aaron Donald nightmares coming up real soon. Hey, Tyrone, I'd like to hear your pick on the Rams-Eagles game next week because you've been known to badmouth the Rams before. I'd like to hear what you think about this week's matchup.
I think you've already picked the Rams, haven't you?
You're damn right I have.
He's already picked them. You're not even waiting till Friday. You already picked the Rams yesterday.
The Rams going to win the game.
I am so sick and tired of callers like Laurie today who want to say how they were never Wentz fans to begin with and want to, like, get rid of them after one bad game. What don't you get, Laurie, and all you other idiots? You all want to hang with Nick Foles? Go ahead.
There's some Folesian people out there, but come on. Wentz had a disappointing performance. And yeah, we do overreact, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know what to feel about him anymore.
Yeah, but I think he's referring to the people that said, I never liked him.
Yeah.
Even when he was going 11 games in the Super Bowl season, I knew he stunk. They're liars.
Yeah.
And two, they're definitely Folesians.
Yeah, they're Folesians.
And Carson Wentz drops game one of the new season. Oh, well, at least he's proven his actual low worth to the city and to the team. At least Nick Foles has a Super Bowl title he gave to the city. And everybody on this station, except for one person, seems to want to disrespect Nick at every chance.
I was disrespecting him if I'm pointing out the obvious truth that he's a mediocre quarterback who caught lightning in a bottle. Is that disrespect? I mean, he's had a chance to prove otherwise, and he hasn't. Come on.
I'm listening to Monday's Sound Off, and guy calls and mentions Foles. I think the reason people mention Foles is because you two idiots show him absolutely no respect for what he gave our city.
How's everyone doing?
I don't know how many times I could say it. It's really nice that he played well for six games and got him a Super Bowl. I don't know what more you want me to say. Other than that, his career's been a study in mediocrity. So I don't know what you're saying. You know, we have lifetime loyalty? Yeah, I guess we will because he was the quarterback that won the Super Bowl. But let's call what we see here.
Mike, I don't get it. I mean, there's a lot of things in that game I don't get. But you need a play in the fourth quarter. Your offense is struggling. Your quarterback is off. And DeSean Jackson's healthy sitting on the bench. Yeah, we got rookie receivers in there. I mean, let the guy make a play. You're paying him. He can make a play and break one down the sideline.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Now I'm thinking about it. Did they bench him for spite because of his comments? What do you think? Is it possible?
I can't rule it out.
Yeah, maybe. I never thought about it. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Peterson. I lost on Sunday to a team with no name. I came home feeling nothing but shame. Being silly, can't find no one to blame. Because the teams are used to being so lame.
Yeah, you get no points for that because America sucked. That band. I couldn't stand them. Stop it, please.
The Sixers, what is so hard to understand? Do not bring in Dan Tony. Another old boys club, washed up, has been coached that has won nothing.
Yeah, listen, I don't know. I mean, maybe it won't work here. It'll be exciting. Who knows? I mean, you got your choice. Billy Diamond, D'Antoni, Tyronn Lue, some unknown guy. It's a mystery. We're at the Random Riddle, Inside a Dilemma. All right, close it down, brother.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
You got a beef?
I don't like
what is it?
Because I don't like
Leave it at 610. 877-971-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
All right, your Phillies lineup, Kutch and D.H. Harper are hitting two. Bohm playing first base tonight. Didi, Segura, and listen to these bottom four. Kingery, Knapp, Garlick playing left field, and Quinn. P.U. Stay tuned for the warm-up on NBC Sports Philly, followed by Philly's pregame live, and stay tuned right here on 97.5 for Devon Givens. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Be safe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.